Someone this past week asked me a question in the chat about whether or not a girl is allowed to wear tzitzis. That was the question. Could a girl wear tzitzis, not on a regular weekday, but for perm? Can she wear tzitzis for perm? And someone just, apparently today is St. Patrick's Day, is that correct? So someone asked me if someone could dress up for St. Patrick's Day, and not he was asking about on a day like today, but can you dress up as something like that, a saint, or let's say a priest or something religious on perm? Is that allowed as well? So let's go through some of the halachas that relate to, or what halachas are really pushed off over to the side when it comes to celebrating perm. So just a list off a few that come to mind of which isur might be permitted or not on perm. So one is drinking. You know, drinking in general, getting drunk is not something we do as Jews. It's not the derech eretz. It's not the way we act. So drinking itself, getting drunk to such a state, ad leyada, to such a level of shichris, would not be in the way that Jews celebrate. That's number one. Number two is drinking to such a level will lead to missing davening often. The person's going to miss tefillah, he's going to miss limud haTorah. What about a man wearing women's clothing? We said women wearing men's clothing, can a man wear women's clothing? What about, they talk about the posting wearing shatnez. Are you allowed to wear shatnez? Different halachas of shatnez. Is that going to be permitted? Chukas Akum. We said, mentioned St. Patrick's Day. That's a violation of Chukas Akum. Could you wear what a monk wears, what a priest wears, anything that goyim wears? Is that permitted? The poskim talk about stealing. Are you allowed to steal? Perhaps stealing might be permitted as well on Purim. Or nezek, causing damage. People are busy fighting. They talk about these jousting that would take place at chasanas, jousting with each other. Is that something that's permitted? Are you pater from any nezek, any damage? Rav Avadia Yosef talks about having a magic show in general and having a magic show on Purim. There might be Yisurim involved in doing magic. What about Purim spiel? Making fun of people, late sonnets. So there are many areas of halacha that seem to be more makel when it comes to Purim. So let's go through the halachas and see whether or not a person should be violating any of these halachas or not. So there's a tshuva of the Mari Mintz. Mari Mintz is one of the Rishonim. We lost many of his writings. His grandson, Ramami Pada. Ramami Pada was a grandson-in-law of Mari Mintz, and he had some of the tshuvas written in his sefer. So one tshuva is talking about this particular topic of dressing up and violating different yisurim on Purim. Now, it's not in front of you, but I want to read for you the words. It's such humility the way he presents this shaila. So he writes, Al davar levishas ha-partzufim, the matter of wearing costumes and masks, shenogin lubosh bachrim v'gam besulos, that young men and young women would wear, zikenim, old people would dress up, imnarim bepurim. This goes back 500, 600 years ago. Hini ra'isi, I saw, shekfar pasik lahatir, there's already a leniency paskin by Ahuvai, my dear loved one, my misi, my good friend, karacho dukula be'avakas rochlim, well-known in Great Gadol, reish kala, reish gola, the head of the yarche kala, the head of all of Golas, her eishel hagadol, the massive tree, marina rav revel yakum. So that's quite a long presentation for revel yakum. And he says, in his humility further, Vahotzi Kor Mishpato, he already gave his judgment, Nimuka Imo, which is his depth, is with him. We hold like Rabbi Yochum. V'rayosa Mochuchim Olav, all his proofs are very clear cut. Ki'ilu Yatsu Mipiagvura, as if it came straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mouth, his psak. Akarchach HaMahara Achrav, one who tries to challenge him. Kimahara Achar Shechina. By challenging Rabbi Yochum, you're challenging the Shechina himself, he says. I also wanted to bring a proof. Lahatir, to say it's lenient, to dress up in different ways. Lo kimeharir achre harav hagadol. Not that I'm challenging this great rav. Lo kimachzik dvar, not to support him. Doesn't need my support, he says. Ki einot tzarach, he doesn't need me at all. And plus his proofs, his rayosov were much alime mirayos yididi. His proofs were greater than mine. Aval bati litas chai. I want to take a little schar, a little reward of limud haTorah. So I bring a little proof for my concept. And he says, why? Because ra'u al-kacha gedolum v'chaside olam. I saw many great rabbanim throughout the world. Shinis gedalti etzlam. I was raised among them. Asher ro b'neim, I saw their sons, ubnoseim, their daughters, chasneim, their sons-in-laws, kalseim, their daughters-in-laws, all of them are lov shen otze parsuf. Everyone used to dress up. This is like a big thing, going back several hundred years ago. This is a rishon. Vishino big den, they change their clothing, mi big day isha, big day isha. I mean, he saw a great god ador's son, or son-in-law, or daughter-in-law, the son was wearing a woman's skirt, and his daughter-in-law was wearing pants. That's what he saw in the times that he showed him. And there's a whole long introduction to his great humility for Rabbi Yaakov that's permitted. So what's his leniency? What's the proof that you're allowed to switch clothing, boys and girls, on Purim? So he talks about a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. There's an iser that a person, a man, cannot use a mirror. A man can't look in the mirror. It's a violation of Beged Isha, of trying to look handsome. Men don't do that. So there is a leniency, the Gemara says. If a person is getting a haircut from a goy, so there's a concern that the goy might kill you. So what happens is he's going to be cutting someone's hair from behind and stab him with a razor, with a knife, whatever he's using, a scissor. So we use a mirror. Now, what people think is the reason why I use a mirror, why is a mirror going to help protect you? Anyone know? You watch him kill you. Wait a minute, that won't help. Oh, now I can see my own murder. It's like live, like that live streaming a murder. So that's not the reason why. The reason why is because when a guy would walk around with a mirror, back then it was actually an inyan of chashivas. You know, guys walk around with the fancy like clocks out of their, you know, a chain out of their, you know, vests, three-piece suits. Not anymore, but it used to be like that was fancy. It shows chashivas. You walk around with a mirror that shows chashivas back then. So no one wants to kill a person who is a chashiv. He must be from the higher ups of the government, of the whatever structure he was in. So for that reason, it protected a person. So bring a mirror if you're getting a haircut from a non-Jew. That's what the Gemara says. Even though using a mirror for a man is usur, so it's allowed in certain situations. So the Ma'ariv Mirintz goes through the whole sugya, says there are other heterim as well of Beged Isha. He says another instance would be if you live in a place where everyone uses mirrors, where all men use mirrors. Nowadays, all men in America use mirrors. If you live in a time, a place where it's acceptable, then it's permitted. He gives another example based on the Rishonim. That times of the Gemara, it was usur for men to shave parts of the body, other than the face, but parts of the body, men don't shave. Legs and anywhere else, armpits. But if you live in a place that these places are the body are typically shaved by the people of the men who live in, not Jews, men in general, in your culture, then it would be permitted. As long as it's something that's accepted across the board, it's not a violation of Beged Isha. So based on this, he writes that since when people dress up for Purim, a man wearing women's clothing, it's not for Beged Isha issues. It's not to look pretty or handsome. It's simply because it's for Simcha. If the goal is for Simcha, not for Beged Isha, not to look pretty, not to look handsome, then it would be allowed. That's how the Ma'ariv Mirintz paskins. You can wear the opposite gender's clothing on Purim because that's a way of celebrating. That's a way of Simcha, being fun, having a good time, all in good spirit of Purim. So after he discusses that's one example of an isser that can be violated on Purim, he gives another example of another isser you could violate on Purim.
But that isser isn't dafka for Purim. You're saying you can, because it's accepted in society, now you can do it. Why would it be dafka for Purim?
No, we're not going. Hopefully, we'll never get to that point where cross dressing is acceptable, and hopefully, we won't get there. But he was giving that as a proof. he was giving that as a proof. That if there are sometimes you could push over an isser for different reasons. So one example was if it's accepted in the community, that's fine. The heter Purim is not because it's accepted, it's because it's another example of a simcha. If it's not for the kavana of noi, not for the kavana of beauty, then you'd be allowed to do this. So either it's because everyone does it, that's just normal, or because of simcha, that's not for noi. It's two different heter. But our concern of Purim is the heter of simcha is able to override the Isser of Beged Isha, and also Kli Gever, that a woman could wear men's clothing. So then he says, based on this topic, that Ma'ariv Mirintz, it says, another heter of an Isser is, apparently, that when it came to the Sudor, they're eating like Shalach Manos, he says that all the Bachurim would grab food from each other. They'd steal food from each other. Someone told me once, I never learned in the mirror, but supposedly the way it works in the mirror is, that everything, the food's on your plate, and if something falls off your plate, it's considered hefker. So they grab the first one. They give you like falls, like you took too much, I don't know, too many potatoes, and one rolls off. The guy grabs it right away, and it's hefker. So they did this type of thing in Purim that even if it didn't fall off the plate, you could grab everyone else's food, and it wasn't considered gazela. That was just part of the fun of Purim. So he says, because of Simchas Purim, that's not considered a violation. He says, from the time you start reading Megillah until the end of the Sudas Purim, you have 2 nights and a day of everything's hefker. Right? From Mishas Kriyas Megillah ad Sof Sudas Purim, Shem Shnei Leilos V'Yomechad Ein Behem Mishum Gezel. You could take anything you want. You go to your friend's house and send Shalach Manos. Yeah, that's a nice bottle of wine. I'm going to just take that and walk home with it. There's no violation of Gezela according to the Ma'ariv Meretz. He said, the reason is because your point is not to steal. It's all in good fun. It's all in simcha. You're trying to have a good time with each other. The simcha allows for a number of yisurim to be pushed off.
Yeah, but you can't just open his cabin and take out the kiddush cup or something.
According to this, it seems that there's food. The practice was food. So maybe not the kiddush cup, but maybe the fancy bottle of wine or schnapps. According to this, it would seem to be permitted.
Well, what's the premise? If you go ahead and you're going to take it and you're going to drink it, you're not going to give it back and you're not going to give him anything in return. Why is that Zela?
Because they say simple. So you'll do the same thing to his house. You go back to his house and you'll grab his schnapps and you end up swapping. When it comes to Purim, the impression is it's a day of hefker. That's what's coming out right now. We'll get to try to balance everything a little bit better. But this reminded me of a shayla my dear friend Rabbi Leibowitz had once. It wasn't in this shul, but someone had asked him this question. I think I mentioned here before on a Sunday morning. It was Simchas Torah. And they auctioned up the aliyahs. So some guy bought maftir for a lot of money. So then some other guy in the shul told the gabbai that, he bought it, but he wants me to have the aliyah. So the gabbai called up the guy who didn't pay for it, and he got the aliyah. And the one who paid for it's like watching what's going on. He's not sure what's going on exactly. And then he didn't get the maftir that he paid for. And the question afterwards was, does he have to pay for it? The guy who got the aliyah, the maftir, is he responsible to pay the one who bought the aliyah? So that's a whole other sugya there. But according to this, it sounds like Simchas Torah would be very similar to Purim in that when it comes to days of Simcha, a day of Simchas Torah is more hefker than Purim perhaps, that he might have to pay. Gzela doesn't apply on a day like Simchas Torah. Now there are other reasons why he doesn't really have to pay. The guy who gave the money wanted to give the money to the shul. He wanted to also get the kibbutz of the aliyah, but he was trying to give money to the shul, so he didn't have to pay the guy back, even though he didn't get the aliyah. But we see from this Ma'ariv Meretz that there is a number of yisurim that are permitted when it comes to Purim. Let's go further in the Darchei Moshe. Look inside number one.
You said that it has to be in a case where you know the other person is going to be...
It'd be mochel.
Yeah.
Exactly. So we'll get there. The Ramad's going to write this line. There has to be some level of implicit mechila. If you know a guy is a real yucky, he won't let you take his fancy bottle of wine. So, we have a couple yuckies here, right? So, if you know he won't be mochel for taking his $500 bottle of wine, so then it may not be allowed. But there's an implicit mechila. We'll get to the Ramad in just a second. Yeah, just joking about that. Okay. I wouldn't let a guy take my $500 bottle of wine immediately. Okay. The Darchei Moshe writes, number one, the bold. At the end of the line, he says, V'efshir shemizeh, he quotes the Ma'ariv Meretz. He quotes all the different things about you could wear beged isha and kli gever, you could even steal. V'efshir shemizeh nispashit. Perhaps this is the reason why. Nispashit haminag, the practice has been so widespread. Lilvosh kelayim derbanan. The different types of shatnas. Now, frankly, I don't know the difference between Kalayim Derabanan and Deraisa. Probably the way it was sewed together. But whatever the din is, we know there's a concept of Shatnez Derabanan. From which Gemara? Gemara in Brachos. Gemara in Brachos tells us if you see a person walking in the shuk and he's wearing Shatnez, so you have to take it off. You have to rip off the clothing. Even though he's going to be standing there naked, you have to take off the clothing because it's an Isser Deraisa to wear Shatnez. To let a guy wear an Isser Deraisa, you have to take it off. So that the Gemara deal doesn't talk about that particular question. There's intimate kavod habrios about a person's own dignity. So the Gemara says if it's shatnez derabanan, so then his kavod habrios is more important than the iser mederabanan. We don't take off his clothing if it's only klayim derabanan. But if it's shatnez deraisa, so the Gemara says that you have to take it off. Ah, malbin pnei chaver berabim, it's an iser deraisa as well. It seems that the iser of klayim is perhaps more important than that. It's hard to swallow, but that's what comes out. Now, that might depend on the big machlokas as well. when the Gemara says Malbim Chaver Berabim, it's Kilu Shofech Damim. Like you kill a person, so how far do you take that? Some Rishonim say it's so far that it's even Yagva Yavor. If you say to Reuven, embarrass him in public, or I'll kill you, you should rather be killed than embarrass that guy in public, because it's like Ritzicha. But most Rishonim don't assume it's that strong. It's compared to killing someone, but it's not quite like that. It's not a good thing to do, obviously, but it's not as extreme as actual murder. But so either way, we see from the Gemara there's a chilek between klaim deraisa versus klaim derabanan. So Rama says perhaps this is the reason why on Purim they would wear klaim derabanan on Purim, and they do this for also in the simcha. They, I don't know what's so happy about wearing klaim derabanan, but I don't know, maybe they had some special fancy clothing that was a very simchadik that was made from klaim derabanan. The harei roin dafilu issa deraisa docha says the Rama that we see that even in issa deraisa like gazela is permitted. Kilo miskaven or beged isha, as long as the kavana isn't for the iser itself, it's just for simcha, so then certainly kol shekein kalayim dirabanan. So that's another heter now, of shatnez is dirabanan, that's permitted on Purim. He says further, Ra'isi, says, Amnam Ra'isi, Mari Barin, Shekara Tagal Minog, he was very against the Minog Shalavishas Kalayim. He was very against wearing Kalayim. The Yesh Tolim Batzman, some say, based on the Chuvas Riva, of mishum simcha. So some want to bring a raya as follows. We just saw before, you could steal on Purim. You're allowed to steal on Purim. You could grab each other's food, guys' bottles of wine. So once that's permitted, so certainly wearing shatnez is permitted as well. What's the difference between shatnez and gzela? Once iser gzela is permitted, certainly iser shatnez is permitted as well. So is there any reason to be mechalik between shatnez and gzela?
Shatnez only involves you, gzela, or somebody else.
Exactly. Bein adam l'chavero and bein adam l'akom. Bein adam l'chavero, if I steal your food, so if you're mochel, so you're mochel, so then I'm allowed to take your food. It's not gazela anymore. When it comes to shatnez, though, HaKadosh Baruch is not mochel on the shatnez. So the Rama writes, Salah Milsi, this is incorrect. De mamo niten l'machila. De hefker bezdin hefker. So you don't even need machila. Bezdin actually comes in and says, this is hefker. Since the practice was to take people's food, now I don't know if there was like a threshold of how valuable the wine or the food you're taking is, chicken versus meat, but either way, there was a practice to take people's food, and Bezdin has the ability of Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. They could say your property is Hefker. They could say one's marriage is Hefker. Right? The Gemara talks about Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. The money that you gave for your wife, that was actually never yours. Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. They could undo anything that's monetary. But when it comes to shatnez, says the Rama, Mashenkin be iser, and iser of shatnez, there's no hefker best in hefker. You can't undo the iser shatnez. Iser shatnez exists no matter what. So there's another machlokes again, whether or not the iser shatnez would be permitted on yantiv or not. He brings a raya. The Rama goes on to bring a raya that why does he think you can wear shatnez on Purim? There's a Gemara that talks about in the Nedarim and Baal Basra. Let's say a tax collector comes to your house. And the tax collectors back there weren't so exact that 40% of your income. They took whatever they wanted to take. So now, if you're wearing it, though, they wouldn't take things off your back, only that which was in your drawers and stuff. So the Gemara says you're allowed to wear, let's say you're selling shatnez clothing. You're allowed to sell shatnez if you want. There's no issue to sell shatnez, you just can't wear shatnez. So Gemara says you could put on shatnez suits on yourself to make it as if you're wearing it. And this way they won't take it from you as their tax. Ah, isn't that an issur d'oraisa to wear shatnez? How can I wear shatnez to avoid paying the taxes? And the Gemara says, since I'm not doing it for the purpose of wearing shatnez is a violation of giving chamimus, getting warmth, getting covered up. If I'm wearing it not for chamimus, but I'm wearing it because I want to avoid paying the inappropriate taxes that I'm being charged, then that's permitted. So too, says the Rama, if I'm wearing shatnez, not for chamimis, I'm wearing it to make a big party, to wear a nice fancy suit and clothing, then that would be permitted.
Why isn't that
what, stealing for taxes? No, so the Gemara there says, it's not talking about taxes that you actually owe, it's when a tax collector comes, who picks any number out of the sky, what he wants to collect from you. If it was dina de malchus dina, where you have to pay percentage on income, then you can't evade those taxes, that's usur. But if it's taxes, they would come and just say, okay, we're going to take this amount of money from you without any calculation, then you're allowed to. But this is very, it should be very clear. No one should think that you should avoid paying taxes. We live in a country, there's dina de machus adina, we follow the rules of the country, we must pay all the taxes. That's clear, everyone? Good? Okay, fine.
Right, but if they started doing something unreasonable like they did in Russia and all these kinds of things...
That would be an example, but not to risk yourself getting thrown in jail. That's another issue as well, but unclear how to define what's unreasonable as well. Okay, so we see now a number of Yisroim that are permitted. Move to number two now. There's a Tosos. Tosos in Sukkah is talking about the Gemara, where the children would go ahead and grab lulavs from people. So look what Tosos writes. He says, lulavei hatinokos shomtin agdolim, the gedolim miyadim. The gedolim would take away the lulav of a katan. The ochlin esrogim, they take the child shel tinokos, they grab the esrog from the little boy and eat their esrog. The aim of davar gezel, there's no gezel involved. Below mishum darche shalom. Now we know that there's a halacha that for you to acquire something, we discussed this a few weeks ago when it came to shalach manos, that for a katan to acquire something, he doesn't really have the ability to acquire something because he doesn't have the das. But the halacha is, if a katan, let's say, finds something on the floor and he picks up a naveda, so in reality, if he takes up, he finds $20 and he grabs it, I could take it from his hand. But the Gemara tells us that in Gemara Gittim, that mishum darche shalom, because it's going to lead to fighting, he's going to go tell his father's going to be a big guy and come beat me up. So he wanted to protect from anyone getting to fights. So if a katan picks up an aveda, he could keep it mishum darche shalom, to maintain the peace. So Tosa says there's no issue of gzela from taking from the katan, there's no issue of darche shalom either. Why is that not darche shalom? Taking his esrog and eating it right in front of him, isn't that the problem of darche shalom? So he says, Ela shekach nogubo machma simcha. Kach perish bekunshus. It's simcha. That's part of the fun. Part of the fun of Purim, part of the fun of Sukkot, part of the fun of Chasna, is grabbing each other's estrogim. That's part of the fun games. V'yesh lomod mikan. We can learn from here. Le'osan bachim sherochim basusim. Those young boys would ride on horses. Le'kras chasan, to greet the chasan. Look at, this would be a nice thing to add to the weddings, by the way. V'nilchamim ze'im ze, they fight with each other on top of horses, like jousting, right? That's called jousting. The koren bigdol shel chaver, they rip each other's clothing with these little spears. O mekalkalosus, or hurt the horse. Shein peturin. Imagine that. They joust on it and rip each other's shirts, and this is a, Tosas talks about this. It was a common practice, apparently, in Europe where he lived. Shekein nagu machmas simchas chasen. Because the Simcha of the Chasen was a very entertaining, they would do it. Rip each other's clothing and beat up each other's horses. So this is permitted. So this is yet another example of another Isser that's allowed on Purim. Now he's not talking about Purim, he's talking about Sukkot and Chasen, but Purim would be no different. So now we have Gzeilah permitted, Beged Ish is permitted, we had Klaim is permitted, now Nezek is permitted.
Does this only apply where it's the custom of that community to do that?
Great question. It seems, some way it's presented here, it sounds like it's only where it's been practiced. That's what it seemed like. To create a practice like this, they haven't discussed yet. I think it's a fair question.
The practice doesn't exist like today for us when we're going to stealing at different people's...
Right. Well, we'll see the Aruch HaShulchan, we'll say nowadays we don't have such practices. But this is all, it seemed like they were justifying what was practiced in their various communities. Let's take a look at the Shulchan Aruch now, number three. Shulchan Aruch, right, this is actually the Ramah, not the Shulchan Aruch. Ramah writes, Ma shenogu lilvosh partzufim b'purim, not which people have the custom of wearing masks and various costumes. So he says that v'gever lovesh simlas isha, man wears women clothing, or isha kli gever, women wears men clothing. Ein nisa b'davar me'achar she'ein mechavnin elo simcha b'amo. There is no violation because the whole intent is just to be fun and games. V'chein b'levishas klaim, the Rabbanon, the Ramah says, is permitted. But then he brings the Yeshomim to Asr. There are those who prohibit switching clothing, cross-dressing. Abaha minag kisvar rishona. Ramah says, we pass like the first opinion that you're allowed to cross-dress on Purim. V'chein b'nei adam hachotvin zemizeh derech simcha, those who grab food from each other, wine from each other, that's also permitted. Ein ba mishum lo sigzal v'nagu kach. So ending off with the Ramah, all these types of violations are completely permitted. But we're not done. Mishabur writes, number four. Ulefize mutter levarech amashechotun as well. There's a halacha. If you steal something, you can't say bracha. Now, it sounds a little warped. If you steal something, why would you be saying a bracha? But there are people who are warped in this world. Well, they do one Isser and still do another one. They'll be doing terrible Isserim, but they'll daven with all their hearts out. So that's not, unfortunately, we have people who have such contradictions. So if you steal the food on Purim, you're allowed to say a bracha on that as well. That's completely permitted. But, mihu kosev the shlo. The shlo writes, shlo kadosh, lav mishnas chasidim hi. This is not proper way to act. He's not talking about chasidim nowadays. He's talking about those who want to just be in terms of the way they act in chasidis. Vishomer nafsho yirchak mimalbushim teklaim lachtov mechaveiro. A person should go very, very far away from wearing shatnez and from stealing from each other and act in the proper way. Aruch HaShulchan echoes this point, number 5. Mashinogu biyomim kadmonim bilavishas partufim mishatnez bishal ish leisha, wearing shatnez and cross-dressing, lo nogu kein, we don't practice this anymore. V'chein misha hizik chayv l'sham, if you damage someone else's property, you go jousting in the guy's front yard, or you would hurt his horse, or you go, I don't know, whatever, with your cars, you try to do something similar with your cars with each other, yechayv l'sham, you have to pay damages. De'ata now, bavanoseinu harabim, in our generation, arver kol simcha v'ein anu b'madregazu, we are not on that level of simcha that they were once on. So all these isurim are no longer permitted. We have to practice with great care.
Including the cross-dressing thing.
Now, there's a term, those who really want, there's what to rely on. There certainly is what to rely on, but it's very much discouraged by the poskim, by the mishabura, the shla, the Aruch HaShulchan. So let's talk just for a moment about the wearing a tzitzis. To your question, you had asked me about, could a girl wear tzitzis? Is that a violation of kli gever or not? So there's a din in Shulchan Aruch Simin Yud Aleph. The long simon here. It's not simon yalf. Hold on a second. It talks about the simon where who's chayv and who's potter in tzitzis. So it's in here we go. Yud zayin. Simon yud zayin. So the Shulchan Aruch writes in simon yud zayin hilchot tzitzis as follows. Nashim v'avadim pturim. They're potter from the mitzvah of tzitzis. Mipneshi mitzvah asay. She has mangrama. They're time bound. There's no mitzvah to wear tzitzis at nighttime. So since it's mitzvah asay, she has mangrama, winter potter. But they're ma'ad mikomakom imrotim latvo. They want to wrap themselves in a talis. Ulevarich alav harishus biyad. And they're allowed to. Kimoshar mitzvah asay, she has mangrama. Right, we have this machlokas we discussed many times. Sfardim are also allowed to perform mitzvah asay if they wanted to. Mitzvah asay, she has mangrama. They just don't say a bracha. There's Ashkenazim paskin that you can say a bracha. So clearly the Ramah writes that women can wear talis if they want and say a bracha. But, ach mechse ki yuhura. It's a yuhura. It's shong, I'm better than you. I'm performing mitzvahs that you're not performing. Lachain says the Ramah, ein lehem lubo shittis. This is another example I should put on the list we discussed a month ago. A list of things that are permitted, yet not allowed. Women can wear talis, they can say a bracha, but the minog is that they don't wear talis. They should not. So if you go according to the list of the Ramah, if you could wear shatnez, if you could do gezela, nezek, all these things, so certainly you should be able to allow a woman to wear talis on Purim. But if you go like the Mishabur and the Aruch HaShulchan, that nowadays we don't do this, so it should be very discouraged for a woman to wear talis on Purim. So what to rely on? So someone asked me after I answered the question in the chat, he asked me if you could wear a pusel talis. Is that allowed? So it reminded me of a story of Salvechik was once approached by a lady that she very much wanted to wear talis. She felt connected to the mitzvah. And shadupet sinna, so it won't be yura, won't be public display of me being better than anybody else. I really want to wear talis and tzitzis. So Salvechik said, I'll give you a test. How about this? Go home, wear dal kanfos, four-corner garment, but no tzitzis. Just wear a four-corner garment and come back in a week, tell me how you feel. So the girl goes home. She wears for a week a four-corner garment. She comes back a week later. Of Soveitchik said, so how was it? Oh, it was the most incredible thing in the world, wearing dal kanfos. She says, you imbecile. That wasn't the mitzvah even. You didn't even wear tzitzis. And he sent her off. So we don't wear tzitzis. So there is what to rely on if a girl wants to wear tzitzis for the whole show. It's probably advisable to wear pasul tzitzis or just put the strings on and not on dal kanfos. It's probably more appropriate according to the Mishabura and the Aruch HaShulchan. Okay, let's discuss a little bit further now. Two other cases here. Actually, a few more. The Dirshu actually brings a number of interesting situations here about the age of a child. If you want to address a girl as a boy or a boy as a girl, they discuss this amongst the poskim, whether that's allowed. But he discusses here, what about wearing non-Jewish clothing? A guy wants to dress up as a priest or as a monk or whatever type of religious figure. So everybody agrees you shouldn't wear any cross, anything religious. But let's say the garb itself, like a, I don't know, like a cardinal or a bishop, all these fancy clothing, is that allowed? So the quote here, Rav Chaim Kanievsky says that even though mikir din is permitted, ein roy lasoskin, one shouldn't do this. I asked Rav Shachter this last week. He says it's certainly permitted, but why would one want to dress up like a monk or a priest? Doesn't make any sense. So you're allowed to, but it's very much discouraged. Rav Yashiv felt that a person should not dress up like a priest or a monk. He thought it was a violation of Chukas Akum and even a violation of Avodah Zarah, perhaps, to do such a thing. So that's an interesting machlokas that exists. Now, this is really interesting. He says, what if a Litvak wants to dress up as a chassid? Or the opposite. So he says, but he says, Dafka for davening. So Rav Vazner's quote here is saying that you're allowed to, as long as you're dressed properly, you're covered up, you're not wearing shorts, so then you're allowed to. There is, you know, and you're not doing it really jokingly, so then it's allowed. In this Kila, many people do Dafka dress up as chassidim on Purim, some people even not on Purim, but it's certainly permitted according to the poskim. Okay, so two last issues here is Rav Adi Yosef has a fascinating tshuva about magic. I know we're having, I think, the Balloon Rebbe today or something, right? It's like 1:30 or something. So I don't think he's doing any magic, is he? But in general, there's a big discussion whether magic is permitted. So everyone here knows, I assume everyone knows, that magic's not really magic, right? It's just quick hands and it's smoke and mirrors and it's... So back then they had some kishuv they were able to accomplish of doing things that were real magic, whatever that meant. Nowadays no one has that ability. So it's just the fast hands and tricking people, playing with their minds. So there's a big machlokus in the Rishonim whether or not that type of magic is asur midraisa or not. The Rambam is very stark in writing. It's called achizas einayim. Achizas einayim is grabbing a guy's eye, making him look that way, and when you're doing something behind his back, when he can't see, that's achizas einayim. It's tricking the guy, but it's not really doing any magic. But he thinks it's magic. You cut the guy in half. He's not really cut in half. I would love to know how that's done, but I don't know how it's done. I know it's not really happening. It's something with mirrors and, I don't know, trap doors and stuff. But that's not magic. So is the magic that we have nowadays, is that a violation at all? So he goes through Kedarko, the whole sugya, and he quotes from the Rambam that the Rambam is very stark that achizas einayim is an issur d'oraisa. I imagine Sfardim, based on this Rambam, are very machbid on magic. That's my guess. The hetter that I once heard was that as long as the magician beforehand shows one trick, how it works, he tells him one of his tricks, then the crowd knows all the other ones also have tricks. He doesn't want to just reveal them all. Once he does the first one, everything else is permitted. I once heard such a thing. But either way, the Rambam says it's an issur d'oraisa to do achizas einayim, having quick hands. The Radbaz writes that it's permitted. He thinks you're allowed to do achizas einayim. You can do that type of magic. So in the end of the day, Rav Adya Paskins, based on what we saw, the Ramah and the others permitted various isurim, midin simcha, that you could steal because of simcha, and you could damage because of simcha, and you could wear klayim and beged isha because of simcha. He said, in the end of the day, you could have magic shows if it's midin simcha. Stam a magic show on a random Sunday in the summer, it doesn't sound like he's so okay with that. But if it's in the spirit of a simcha, of a Purim, or a chasana, or maybe even a birthday party, there's no real simcha by a birthday party, but maybe in those contexts, he says, if there's midin simcha, then he says you'd be allowed to violate this issur midrabanan, according to the Radbaz, since there's another purpose for it. Let's finish off with one last piece here, the Piskei Tshuvos. Purim Shpils. So Purim Shpils, is that allowed or not? That's certainly fun and entertaining and at the expense of other people as long as it's not you. So look at how the Piskei Tshuvos, how he puts it. Number six. The Be'inyan Levishas HaPartufin Muva B'Svar Makadoshim Harbe Tamim L'Minagzeh. There are many reasons why in Pnimius the idea of masks are very much connected. Hesher Panim is the most obvious connection. Moshe Benu had to put a mask over his face when he came down the second time because he had this orpanov, his light was coming, so there's a certain mask on his face. So we also know Purim is also a Kimu v'Kiblu, is a Kabbalah Satorah as well. So the connections of the mask of Moshe Rabbeinu to the masks that we wear in Purim. So there's certainly a good reason to wear masks. U'minag Yisrael Torah. That's our accepted practice. Now, wearing masks and dressing up doesn't mean, however, you should violate Isurim. Doesn't mean you should go buy a shot in his suit to wear a mask and dress up. But there is a very deep concept in wearing masks in Purim. But he writes, Amnam, Mashinogin be'ezim akomos la'asos hatzagos, which are plays. But Purim, those Purim shvils, yesh bezer reach de bitul Torah. Why? What's a bitul Torah? Ayidei hachazaros v'achanos l'kach b'yomim shekodim Purim. How much time goes into these? A ton of time. I remember one year, I don't want to say who it is, a good friend of mine, but must go back, I don't know, 10 years or so ago. So there's a Purim Spiel in YU, and a friend of mine did an amazing, amazing imitation of one of the Rabbanim that were there. And so he got the wording, the lisp, everything exactly right. So how did he do this? Because he said he called the individual, the rabbi, Erev Shabbos, and spoke on the phone for like 2 hours, mm-hmm. conversation, and just studied his voice for 2 hours on the phone, trying to get it down pat, and he practiced and practiced and practiced. Mamash was perfect. It was incredible. And he wasn't stopping. He was like going on and on and on and on. And it takes a lot of preparation to be really good at these things. So all the chazaros, all the achanos, these are all a reach, a little smell of bitul Torah. He writes, if you have such a practice in yeshiva to have Purim shvils, litzarach mitzvah simchas Purim, it's in the spirit of celebrating Purim, yesh lizaher meisurim shalulim lichashabhem, to be careful not to violate any isurim along the way. What's an issue you could violate? Kegon ma'asis hatzagos misipurei tanach hakadoshim, to make fun of the stories, the storyline of the stories in Tanakh. Now one, there's a great, you know, I've only seen one movie in the past probably 15 years. It's a great movie. I've mentioned this in one of the other shirim. Megillas Esther. It's an incredible movie. It's a Megillas Esther. It's a Jewish movie. It's Megillas Esther, but it's a guy Lester. It's fascinating. My kids are quoting it all year round, the different lines. It's a brilliant movie. So in light of this, no, this is making fun of the story. Of the Sipur Tanakh. I don't know how Piskei Chuvos would feel about this, but I certainly had a lot of hana watching it. When, you know, it was great movie. I highly recommend it. So, but you'd be careful not to make fun of the stories in Tanakh. Oh, he says in the Vishas Beged Isha LeGever. He says even in Purim Shvils you shouldn't do the Beged Isha. Oh, and the most important thing is Ma'avanis Panim, to embarrass someone. People have been mortified by being showcased on the Purim Shvils, and certainly halavas tamid chachamim, insulting tamid chachamim or any other types of isurim. So we see that although mi'ikar din, there are a lot of reasons why one can violate isurim, certainly isurim and Purim, it's highly, highly discouraged, and one should be very, very careful. Now I'll finish off with one idea in Panemius as why this might be. It's a hard topic, and then Chas Hashem, am I suggesting anyone go out in this route? There's no one in this world who could accomplish what I'm about to mention right now, and be very careful in understanding what I'm saying here. But when it comes to amazing things in this world in Panemius, high levels of Kedusha, I mentioned this in Siftei Chayin a couple weeks ago, great things have come about through Isurim. It's called the Naveir Lishma. And the whole dynasty of Malchus Beis David came through Isurim. Everything was Arayos, from Benos Lot and Moab and to Rus and to David and Tamar. Along the way, Yehuda and Tamar rather, David and Bathsheba. Along the way, there are all these Arayos along the way. Now, beyond our understanding, in Isurim, there's tremendous Kedusha that only people like David HaMelech and Yehuda could extract that type of Kedusha. So Purim being the highest day is also an area where there is Isurim that we could try to penetrate into those Isurim and get the highest level of Kedusha. And we know Purim, we mentioned before, Purim Yom Kippur, there's that connection. Yom Kippur is very connected in that way as well, because the Kohen Gadol goes into a place where it's usher to go all year round. He's going to a place that's usher, to the most usher place in the world. The Kohanim's clothing are all shatnez, which are usher for everyone else. So the idea is, when you're in the level of the Kohen Gadol, you're in the level of Esther Amalka, she also violated an Isser to create the whole Kedusha Purim. When you're on that level, you get into that world of Isurim to extract the Kedusha. But as the Aruch HaShulchan said, in our days, where we are no longer on that level, no one, don't let anyone ever convince you that they're able to do an Isser to bring out a mitzvah. There's no one that could exist anymore who could do that. But that was the in and once upon a time, that Purim was a time where Isurim were completely permitted because you could extract the Kedusha. Nowadays, unfortunately, we're not there, but we should be zochet to see soon Mashiach ben David, who came from that lineage, that yichas of mitzvahs, aver lishma, be zochet to see that soon in the Gula Shem HaMidosh, Amen.